And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A Christian preacher is set to sue the Metropolitan Police after being dragged through the courts, despite officers acknowledging that her accuser had goaded her and she refused to take the bait. Hazel Lewis, 49, was arrested while preaching after passers-by falsely claimed that she had called for gays and non-believers to be stabbed. Despite providing officers with a recording of the afternoon, which they reviewed and found she had not used racist or homophobic abuse, she was charged with a different offence and dragged through the courts. Now, after an 18-month legal battle, Miss Lewis has been cleared by a judge who ruled there was no case to answer as her words had not been threatening or abusive. Miss Lewis, who intends to launch legal action against the police, said, "I am delighted that the judge has seen through the lies and has vindicated me." She said that the members of the public wanted to silence me and twist what I was saying, and the police seemed determined to prosecute me, no matter what. Miss Lewis was arrested outside Finsbury Park tube station in North London in February 2020 after it was claimed she said that non-believers and gay people should be stabbed. She was arrested under the Public Order Act after making homophobic and racist comments. On her arrival at custody, she handed over a mobile phone which had been recording. In a statement to her trial at Highbury Magistrates Court last month, Officer Stuart Day said that the video showed that one of the men who had accused her very much sounds like he's trying to goad her into commenting on his sexuality. She does not, however, take the bait. The statement continued, "At no point do you hear her making homophobic or racial remarks against anyone. She at no point during the recording is calling for the stabbing or murder of any group based on their lack of religious beliefs." He notes that she repeatedly refers to people as sinners, but adds, "I was satisfied that she does not use any homophobic or racial language during this time." Rather than having the case dropped, Miss Lewis was charged with a different public order offence of using threatening, abusive or insulting words or behaviour to cause harassment, alarm or distress. It was alleged that she had made a child cry and had been threatening when she told one man, "You are an advocate of Satan and I rebuke you in Jesus' name." But District Judge Julia Newton ruled that there was no case to answer, as although the words had been disagreed with, they were not threatening or abusive. She said that there was no evidence she caused the children to cry. Andrew Williams, chief executive of the Christian Legal Centre, which supported Miss Lewis, said, "Since the turn of the century, we have seen a concerning escalation in street preacher arrests, despite strong legal precedents being set in defence of their freedoms. It is chilling that one false accusation to the police can see a woman preaching on her own, handcuffed, arrested and prosecuted." Marriages among the over 65s have risen by the most in a decade as silver splitters begin new chapters in their lives. The average age of women who tie the knot in England and Wales rose to 35.8% for women and 38.1% for men in 2018, up from 33.8% and 36.5% respectively in 2008, according to the latest data from the Office for National Statistics, the ONS. This was partly due to the surge in so-called silver splitters, those who divorce then remarry in later life, statisticians claimed. The number of brides and grooms aged 65 and over had increased more than any other age bracket in the past decade, the ONS report found. Between 2004 and 2014, there was a rise of 46% from 7,468 to 10,937. The numbers have been steadily rising from 2009 onwards. Access to dating websites and financial independence are among the reasons suggested for this surge in later life marriage. Fewer young people are getting married. Marriage rates have generally been decreasing among younger ages for both men and women and increasing at older ages, said the ONS. This long-time decline is a likely consequence of increasing numbers of men and women delaying marriage or couples choosing to cohabit rather than marry, either as a precursor to marriage or as an alternative. The increase in older people ending and forming new relationships is likely to be because they are living longer. We also know that older people are more connected economically and socially than they were before. People aged 65 and over are more likely than ever to be working and therefore be able to support themselves outside marriage. They're also catching up with younger people in their use of the internet, perhaps trying out online dating. We can't rule out practical reasons for older couples deciding to tie the knot. One of these may be a substantial change to inheritance tax rules made in October 2007, which allowed married couples or those in civil partnerships to transfer their tax-free allowances between each other for the first time. An increase in divorcees who remarry in later life is not the only break with tradition in the past 10 years. Religious marriage ceremonies are also in steep decline, the ONS figures showed. They accounted for only 1 in 5, 21.1% of opposite-sex marriages in 2018, the smallest proportion since records began. Between 1900 and 1980, they decreased from 84.7% to 50.4%. Since 1992, civil marriages have increasingly outnumbered religious marriages every year. The overall number of marriages in England and Wales is also decreasing and is currently at its lowest level since 2009. Alice Rogers, a senior associate at Hall Brown Family Law, said that the figures underlined a shift in the attitudes of young couples. They simply appear to have a different view of relationships to previous generations, she said. The increase in cohabitation makes clear that men and women are still establishing settled relationships, but don't feel the need for the formality and expense associated with marriage. Couples now place a greater premium on investing the kind of sums which they might have once spent on their wedding day, putting down a deposit on a home instead. The steep drop in religious marriages would suggest that even those who do marry prefer to do so without a religious emphasis. That might not only reinforce a preference for informality, but be due to an increase in relationships involving partners from different religions. One-third of religious education teachers do not think the subject should be compulsory in post-primary schools, a report has found. The finding was published as part of a study of inclusive religious education produced by researchers at Dublin City University, Dr. Amelie Meehan and Derek Laffan. In a survey of 214 religious education teachers, 64% said that studying religion should be mandatory for students in both the junior and senior cycle. However, the remaining 36% did not think it should be compulsory. Meehan told The Times that the findings could be reflective of the waning interest of post-primary school students studying religion. RE has a very low uptake at senior cycle, she said. Between 2 and 2.5% of students who sit there leaving CERT actually takes religious education as an examination subject. So, from that point of view, it's not surprising. Meehan added that the schools might also be prioritising other subjects in fulfilling their curriculum requirements for the junior cycle. Some schools might have decided that we can meet the 24 statements of learning without having religious education as a mandatory subject, she said. We can have a short course in it, we can have an experience of it, but not necessarily as what we would traditionally think of as a time-consuming mandatory exam subject. The report highlights the growing secularisation of Irish society and the increasing number of young people who do not hold any religious belief. Using census data from the Central Statistics Office, the report notes that the percentage of people who self-identify as Catholic fell by almost 3.5% between 2011 and 2016, whereas the percentage who have no religion surged by almost 75% over the same period. Along with Catholic identity, Christian religious practice is steadily decreasing, especially among young people, the report said. Dr. A. Moran, Ethos and Leadership Officer of the Lachelle Schools Trust, said, "Religious education should not be instructional, but that it could still be a central piece in the intellectual development of young people and create an environment for them to consider different worldviews. I've met a lot of children who have come from strong Muslim homes and other Christian denominational homes, and they might not have had the space within their home to explore whatever part of their faith they really want to engage with," she said. "I think not having a religious education class to support and explore those things makes life even more difficult for those young people." Moran added that there was scope for a more nuanced approach to religious education. I encourage all our schools to follow the national curriculum on religious education, and then outside of that we have other dimensions to faith development that might be for a minority of students, she said. The report, which was published by the National Anti-Bullying Research and Resource Centre, also found that 88% of religious education teachers surveyed were not concerned about religious-based bullying. However, based on testimonies from those who did express bullying concerns, the report concluded that religious education leaders were most concerned about the bullying of Catholic students and least concerned about the bullying of atheists. Teachers told the researchers that there had been hostility from non-religious students towards students who express faith, and that strong beliefs by students can be ridiculed. Meanwhile, Dermot Farrell, the Catholic Archbishop of Dublin, said that Christian belief in Ireland today has, for all intents and purposes, vanished. The statement from the Archbishop was made in an interview with the 2021 edition of the National Seminary magazine, Zilta. The head of a South London church has appeared in court accused of selling divine plague protection kits for almost £100 as a bogus COVID-19 cure. Climate Wiseman, 46, head of the Kingdom Church in Camberwell, has been charged with fraud and unfair trading offences after allegedly charging £91 for a package containing a small bottle of oil and a piece of red yarn. He is alleged to have claimed that the mixture of cedarwood and hyssop, a herb, could protect users from the coronavirus and that it had cured at least 10 people of COVID-19. The claims were allegedly made in phone calls to the church during an investigation. Wiseman appeared at Lavender Hill Magistrates Court wearing a leather jacket and a shirt with a clerical collar, where he denied a charge of fraud and two charges under the Consumer Protection from Unfair Trading Regulations between March 23 and 24. Ryan Thompson for the prosecution alleged that Wiseman advertised the concoction as divine cleansing oil or as part of a divine plague protection kit that could be used to treat, prevent, protect against or cure coronavirus. These claims were allegedly made in person, online, in instructional videos and through testimonial videos. The prosecution is being brought by Southwark Council. Thompson said there was a risk of death and harm to those who bought the oil, believing it would save them from COVID-19. Wiseman, who describes himself as a seer, spoke only to confirm his name and date of birth and to enter his not guilty plea. Maeve Thornton for the defence said that Wiseman had been exercising his freedom to practice his religion. The magistrate sent the case to Inner London Crown Court, with Wiseman expected to appear on September the 13th. And finally, Pastor Jamie was leading a Bible group study and asked them, "What would you do if you knew you had only 4 weeks left before the Great Judgment Day?" One lady spoke up and said enthusiastically, "I would dedicate all my remaining time to serving God, my family, my church, and my fellow man with a greater conviction." "That's wonderful," said Pastor Jamie. One chap at the back spoke up loudly and said, "I would go to my mother-in-law's house for the 4 weeks." Pastor Jamie asked, "Why your mother-in-law's house?" The man replied, "Because that will make it the longest 4 weeks of my life."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.